Hi, I'm Josh McDowell. Welcome to the audio version of my book, The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers. Was Jesus married? According to The Da Vinci Code, he was. In fact, Dan Brown's characters state that this secret is so critical to the continuing life of the church that church leaders throughout history have been willing to kill to silence it. Could it be true? And could it also be true that Jesus intended Mary Magdalene to preside over the church? If it is true, what does that mean for the church? In this episode, we'll investigate those questions. Now, let's return to the daily grind and join Andrea, Matt, and Chris on their quest for the answers to those questions.
The threat Mary Magdalene posed to the men of the early church was potentially ruinous. Not only was she the woman to whom Jesus had assigned the task of founding the church, but she also had physical proof that the church's newly proclaimed deity had spawned a mortal bloodline. The church, in order to defend itself against the Magdalene's power, perpetuated her image as a whore and buried evidence of Christ's marriage to her, thereby diffusing any potential claims that Christ had a surviving bloodline and was a mortal prophet. The Da Vinci Code, page 254.
How did you do?
I got all kinds of research done, and I feel like I'm just getting started.
You're going to check out the Mary Magdalene angle, right?
Especially the claim that she and Jesus were married. Here, Teabing says this: I won't bore you with the countless references to Jesus and Magdalene's union. That has been explored ad nauseum by modern historians. I honestly don't know what he means by countless references, because there aren't any.
Any?
Well, except for a 1983 book called Holy Blood, Holy Grail by Michael Bygant, Henry Lincoln, and Richard Lee. But as far as I can tell, bona fide scholars and historians regard that book as, well, basically pulp fiction.
Teabing even refers to that book in the Da Vinci Code. Did you know that?
Really? Where?
Page 253. He doesn't mention the author's names, though.
Wait a minute. What were their names again?
Bygant, Lee, and Lincoln.
Oh, that's funny.
What?
What?
What's Teabing's first name?
Lee.
And do you notice anything about the letters in Bygant's name?
Bygant is an anagram of Teabing.
Oh, good work!
So that's the author's way of acknowledging Bygant and Lee's book, by giving his main scholar a name that is a combination of their names.
Pretty clever.
Oh, but get this. Those authors have sued the author of the Da Vinci Code for plagiarism.
So maybe their ideas aren't as widespread as Teabing makes them sound.
You know, that fits. If you look at page 253, you'll notice that Teabing talks about exhaustive detail in scores of historians who know all about the marriage of Jesus and Mary. And then he lists four history books. Guess how many of those authors have history degrees? None. Nada. Zippo. Zero. And those are the cream of the crop as far as the eminent historian Lee Teabing is concerned.
Huh.
Okay. But what about that one gospel that talked about Jesus and Mary making out? What does that tell you?
Not much, it turns out. Teabing clearly thinks that passage from the Gospel of Philip is pretty conclusive. Here's what it says. And the companion of the Savior is Mary Magdalene. Christ loved her more than all the other disciples and used to kiss her often on the mouth. The rest of the disciples were offended by it and expressed disapproval. They said to him, "Why do you love her more than all of us?" See, at first, I spent a lot of time getting into Teabing's attempts to prove Jesus and Mary's marriage by talking about what companion means in Aramaic, when the Gospel of Philip wasn't even written in Aramaic, but in Coptic, a late form of Egyptian. And even at that, it was a translation of an earlier text in Greek.
So Teabing talks like the Gospel was written in Aramaic when it wasn't?
No way to know. But after going around and around on that point, I came to a realization that I think is more important. If Mary and Jesus were married, why would the disciples even ask Jesus why he loved her more than them? Chris, would you ever ask Matt why he loves me more than you?
Of course not.
And we're not even married yet.
Huh?
So I went down that road for a while, but eventually it all came down to this. Bart Ehrman, chairman of the Department of Religious Studies at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, says about the Gospel of Philip, "It is difficult to assign a date for this work, but it was probably compiled during the 3rd century." So, if the main source for a supposed marriage between Mary Magdalene and Jesus is 3rd century, and the 1st century sources of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John say nothing about it, which should I give more weight to?
Good point, but doesn't Teabing also say that it would have been very unusual, maybe even scandalous, for an adult Jewish male like Jesus not to be married?
Yeah, he says this. The social decorum during that time virtually forbid a Jewish man to be unmarried. According to Jewish custom, celibacy was condemned. If Jesus were not married, at least one of the Bible's Gospels would have mentioned it and offered some explanation for his unnatural state of bachelorhood. Now, I almost dismiss that on its face because I think it's sort of underhanded to argue from a negative perspective like that.
What do you mean? It seems a little asinine to say the Gospels never mentioned that Jesus wasn't married, so that proves he must have been.
I don't know. I think he's still got a point.
Something else occurs to me. Teabing thinks Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are bogus, right? In his mind, they were part of Constantine's propaganda campaign.
Yeah, so?
So how does it make any sense for him to try to prove any point from them? He can't have it both ways. If the New Testament Gospels are no more than what Teabing says they are, then they have absolutely no probative values in this case.
Okay, I get that.
Even so, I spent a lot of time on this point. I found out that Jesus' 12 disciples were all adult Jewish males, yet in the four earliest Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not once is their marital status noted or remarked on. The only one of the 12 whose status, married or single, is even hinted at is Simon Peter. And in his case, it's only because his mother-in-law was healed by Jesus. His wife is never identified, and no disciple's lack of a wife is ever explained. If such silence on the topic is, as Teabing suggests, proof that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, then maybe they were all married to her. Also, Saul of Tarsus, a prominent Jew before his conversion to Christianity, says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, that he was single. He even went on to encourage others to stay single if possible. The first century Jewish attitude towards unmarried Jewish males was apparently not as harsh as the Da Vinci Code portrays. And the first century historian Josephus spoke admiringly of the Essenes, a Jewish sect who neither marries wives nor are desirous to keep servants.
Whoa. I'm impressed.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you. I could give more examples, but my modesty prevents me.
Brother.
Oh, I almost forgot. Here's a quote I thought I should conclude with. Dr. Paul Meyer, who has apparently spent his whole academic career researching ancient history, he says this. In sober fact, Jesus never wed anyone, but for years, sensationalizing scholars and their novelistic popularizers have played the role of doting mothers trying to marry off an eligible son. Now, if there were even one spark of evidence from antiquity that Jesus even may have gotten married, then as a historian, I would have to weigh this evidence against the total absence of such information in either scripture or the early church traditions. But there is no such spark, not a scintilla of evidence anywhere in historical sources. Even where one might expect to find such claims in the bizarre second century apocryphal gospels, which the Jesus Seminar and other radical voices are trying so desperately to rehabilitate, there's no reference that Jesus ever got married.
You know, you've both done a great job. I don't know if I can compete with that. Okay, let's start with Teabing's claim that Jesus intended for Mary Magdalene to lead the church after his departure. He says, according to these unaltered Gospels, it was not Peter to whom Christ gave direction with which to establish the Christian church. It was Mary Magdalene. Jesus was the original feminist. He intended for the future of his church to be in the hands of Mary Magdalene. Now, first, I have to mention how incredible it is for Teabing to refer to unaltered Gospels when he dismisses Gospels acknowledged to have been written in the first century and relies on a spurious document called the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. Here's the passage he quotes. And Peter said, did the Savior really speak with a woman without our knowledge? Are we to turn about and all listen to her? Did he prefer her to us? And Levi answered, Peter, you've always been hot-tempered. Now I see you contending against the woman like an adversary. If the Savior made her worthy, who were you, indeed, to reject her? Surely the Savior knows her very well. That is why he loved her more than us. So here's the deal. The Gospel of Mary Magdalene is not a part of the Nag Hammadi manuscripts or Dead Sea Scrolls, as Teabing seems to imply. There are three fragments that exist, two from the 3rd century, one from the 5th century. But I want you to notice that there is no reference whatsoever to Jesus having given Mary instructions to start the church or even that Mary claimed to be given them. And Peter is not portrayed as being jealous about Mary being chosen to start the church. He is just contesting whether or not Mary had been given special revelation from Christ, apart from the rest of the disciples, which makes sense. because this gospel is a Gnostic gospel, and special revelation is a key element of Gnosticism.
Okay, but it seems to me that the issue of whether Mary was supposed to have been the leader of the early church is more of a side issue. The main question I was hoping you'd research is the claim that Mary and Jesus had a child together.
You still want me to go into that?
Yeah.
Because you've already done a great job on the issue of whether they were married.
Of course we want you to go into that. Maybe their child was illegitimate.
By now, it should come as no surprise that the claim of Jesus' marriage and his plans to give control of the church to Mary Magdalene fall flat due to the lack of credible evidence. But what about the possibility that Jesus fathered a child? Could it be that some of his descendants are walking the earth today? We'll look at that possibility in our next episode. Thanks for listening. I'm Josh McDowell.
The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers, is produced by Campus Crusade for Christ.